Welcome to the Daily Tour Podcast for the 2009 Amgen Tour of California. Hey everyone, this is David Bernstein from the Fredcast Cycling Podcast, and I'm your host. The Daily Tour Podcast brings you daily coverage of the 2009 Amgen Tour of California as we ride through California from Sacramento to San Diego over the span of 9 days. The Daily Tour is brought to you by the Fredcast Cycling Podcast at www.thefredcast.com and powered by the resources of Bicycle.net. For your weekly audio dose of cycling news, culture, interviews, product reviews, and more, listen to the Fredcast. And for more cycling news, product reviews, original bicycling essays, and more, bookmark bicycle.net or subscribe to the RSS feeds. In addition to our Daily Tour Podcast, we'll also be bringing you several video clips each day, compliments of our friends at cyclefilm.com. You can find those clips on our website at www.thefredcast.com. And now, here's today's episode of the Daily Tour Podcast. It's Wednesday, February the 18th, 2009. It's time for Stage 4 of the 2009 Amgen Tour of California. Today's stage will take the Peloton from Merced, California, up into the Sierra Nevada for four KOM climbs, beginning with a Category 3, two Category 4s, and then one more Category 3 before descending into the flats back into the Central Valley of California and finishing in Clovis. Based on the elevation profile for today's stage, it does look like it will favor a bunch sprint once again coming into Clovis. Today's stage is 115.4 miles or 185.7 kilometers. And when we woke up this morning, it was a glorious, sunshiny California Chamber of Commerce style day. There's no doubt that the riders and the commentators and the media and everyone involved with this year's Amgen Tour of California were so pleased to see the sun today. It's great to be back in the California sunshine. One indicator of the fact that everyone was happy with the sunshine today is the fact that we were able to get far more rider interviews because instead of hiding in their hotel rooms and in their team vehicles, they were out and ready to talk to us today. But before we get to that, let's recap where we're standing going into today's Stage 4. Sitting atop the general classification is the man in the yellow jersey from the United States and Team Astana. It's Levi Leipheimer. Levi has currently raced 13 hours, 51 minutes, and 14 seconds. In second place is Michael Rogers from Team Columbia High Road. He's 24 seconds back. As a matter of fact, between 2 and 10, everyone is within 39 seconds of Levi Leipheimer. In third place from the United States in Garmin Slipstream, it's Dave Zabriskie. Lance Armstrong sitting in fourth place from Team Astana. Chris Horner, also from Team Astana, is in fifth. And yes, another Astana teammate, Yanis Brockovich, is in sixth place. In seventh from Team Columbia High Road, it's Thomas Lookvist from Sweden. In eighth, Jose Luis Rubiera from Spain and Team, guess what, Astana. In ninth, it's Vincenzo Nibali from Team Liquigas. And in 10th, from Rabobank and the Netherlands, our best young rider so far in this year's tour, Robert Gesink. Owning the sprint classification jersey and owning the King of the Mountains classification jersey, it's Francisco Mancebo from Spain and Rock Racing. And again, our best young rider, Robert Gesink from Team Rabobank. Well, as I mentioned earlier, everyone was happy to see the sun today. You could just hear everyone in their heads. You could hear it coming out of them singing, "Here Comes the Sun" from the Beatles. I can't play it here because unfortunately it's not pod safe, but you all know the song, so just hum along as I speak. And we had the chance this morning to catch up with Bob Roll, the commentator, to get sort of his impression, not only on the weather, but on how the Tour of California has unfolded to this point.
Now that the weather's cleared, I think it's going to be a lot more enjoyable. It's made for an exciting race because it has been a really challenging condition. So for the riders, it's not that much fun. But for the GC battle, it's been great. But now that the weather's cleared up, there's still some hard stages left. But it's a great race so far. And the first year was, you know, only a couple of pro teams came over from Europe, and that's what you kind of look for in the early season to get ready for the classics, and the tours is good weather. And so the word went out that the Tour of California had perfect weather, and the subsequent years have not been as balmy. So this year started out pretty grim, and California's had off and on weather for the last 10 days. But I think now we're going to have hopefully 5 days of sunshine, and then people will forget about all the bad weather in the first 3 days, and they'll just remember that just absolutely perfect weather conditions, and for February, a great race for all the riders. And hopefully more European teams will want to come in the next few years.
There have been all sorts of rumors going around about the possibility of the Tour of California perhaps moving to April. Lance tweeted about it, and then everybody picked up on it. A lot of folks have said, well, that might complicate things because of a lot of the classics, Paris-Roubaix and things like that in April. And here's Bob's take on that.
For any new race, it's always going to be difficult to find the right place in the calendar. You know, it can be really hot in April also here, so especially in the Central Valley. So, you know, it just, the weather is always a factor. Like the Tour Down Under is in January and Tour of California is in February. So it makes the season get longer and longer and longer trying to find a spot on the calendar for your race. So that's a balancing act. That, and I think that it's found a nice little niche, you know, schedule-wise. It's just been pretty brutal weather-wise. But believe me, if it clears up and stays nice for the next few days, then everyone will have forgotten the difficulties of the first couple of stages.
So in other words, if we moved the race, one concern would be that we wouldn't get the powerful competitive field that we've got here. We wanted to get Bob's opinion on what the field is like in this year's Amgen Tour.
It's a great field. If you look at the riders, the course, the conditions, and the time of year, any stage win, it's a real accomplishment. And I think the riders, you know, feel that when, you know, there's not a lot of stage winners yet, but Tor Hushovd, you know, Tom Peterson, Fabian Cancellara, I think they will really treasure these wins as they look back further down the road.
And since Bob travels around from race to race and he's seen crowds everywhere he's gone, we wanted to know what he thought about the crowds here at the Tour of California.
Yeah, the crowds at this race are, I mean, these are some of the biggest crowds except for the Tour de France. And I mean, honestly, and the knowledge and warmth of the people is really... it's really stunning. It's just, it's fantastic. It's edifying that because of Lance Armstrong and his story was so compelling that people became interested in the sport. And then once they found out about it, they became aficionados. And I think all of them are here at the Tour of California. So it's really, really cool.
In the recap of yesterday's stage, you'll recall that we were talking about George Hincapie seemingly trying to lead out Mark Cavendish, and Cavendish being nowhere to be seen because the Cervelo test team had really closed him out. We caught up with Bob Stapleton once again, and we wanted to know from his perspective, what did he see at the end of yesterday's stage?
Oh, yeah, I think we were well set up yesterday. The guys worked really hard to bring Mark back into the field after the climb up Sierra Road. There was good cooperation with Astana to keep the break close, and then, you know, our guys really had to close the gap, which is pretty much what you would expect. I think that the problem for our guys yesterday is, you know, we've got first-time Mark Renshaw and Mark have raced together. So lead-out wasn't perfect, but a lot of factors involved in that. You know, difficult course, actually, to queue up for the final sprint. We lost contact with Mark. I think he got a lot of bumping and fighting for position back there, and Mark lost the wheel, too far back, too late in the sprint, and you can't win like that. Cervelo guys did a great job, perfect execution. Hushaw's in very good form, and that's a day that's made for him. Nasty conditions, cold, wet, rain. I mean, he thrives in that. So I was really impressed with the work they did and the great finishing it off strong that Tor did. So, you know, a little work for us to do to improve on that for sure, but it doesn't take anything away from Cervelo. They rode brilliantly, and Tor, you know, finished with a big exclamation point on that victory.
We also talked to Rolf Aldag to find out his perspective on what happened yesterday with George and with Cervello doing what seemed to be a great job getting their man to the line.
Yeah, it didn't work out perfectly for us, actually. Cervello, we have to say, did a very good job as well. I mean, it's very hard to beat Torusoft if he has, like, two guys in front of him on 500 meters to go. But we tried our best. I mean, we have to see that we never had this combination, Mark Renshaw and Mark Cavendish, so far. And it looks like that needs some time to have the same understanding during the race. So, third place was not what we really looked for, third and fifth. But, you know, we're working on it and give it another chance, and still a long season. But that was one of our good chances. And you know, during the race, I think we took a lot of responsibility. We've been the first chasing with Astana. And, you know, you might run a little short on riders at the end then if you put then Barry and Kirchen and Hansen into the chase. Then sure, on the finishing circuits, we run out of resources a little bit. But, yeah, we gave it a try and we do that again.
Rolf was preparing his team for today's stage, and we wanted to know, what was Team Columbia's plan? They've got some real GC contenders in this race. Considering the mountains, considering the profile, what is Columbia going to be doing today?
Well, for sure, we're going to protect Löfquist and Rogers during the stage, but it's very hard to tell what will happen here on this stage. It's a long way to go from the last climb to the finish, so very hard to see somebody from GC really attacking and really, you know, trying to make the final decision here. So I would assume they stay together and there goes a breakaway, maybe an early breakaway. Astana might control it. And then we really, really have to judge on the situation, how far the break is gone from the last climb, if it makes any sense to chase that down. If that break might make it to the finish with guys who are like 25 minutes in the down in GC, and our biggest goal is to place somebody in the breakaway, actually not to control the race again and again and again and again. And for sure, everybody knows that we have big ambitions then on the Paso Robles stage, because that could be a sprint and that could be good for Cavendish.
And after that, we had the opportunity to talk to the man himself, the man who got blocked out, Mark Cavendish, to find out from his and only his perspective what happened at the end of yesterday's stage three.
Yeah, it's always, you know, a bit nervous coming into a sprint, especially when it's wet and there's a lot of corners. It's a little bit nervous. So, well, we were lucky everyone stayed upright and got to the finish.
Bob Stapleton mentioned that there was a lot of pushing and shoving and bumping going on. We wanted to know, are all sprints this brutal?
Yeah, well, every sprint's like that nowadays. But, yeah, it was difficult, but it was the same for everybody else, so.
What about the conditions here? How have they affected Mark Cavendish?
No, I'm trying to stay strong. You know, it's just like being at home, really. I think, yeah, it's difficult, but it's the same for everybody. So.
And while yesterday was a disappointment, are you hoping to win one at this year's tour?
I hope so, you know. Should be other sprints. We're all confident we can get a stage win here. And, yeah, we'll try our hardest in the next stages. So.
Well, we'll see in today's stage, since we're expecting to have another bunch sprint at the end, whether or not Cav can pull this one out and escape from the Cervello test team. We also had the chance to catch up with fast Freddy Rodriguez today and find out from him how the conditions been and what's he expecting today.
Yeah, today's sunny. It's still going to be a cold day. We're going up to snow level. I heard there's a couple foot or two of snow up in the mountains, so that's going to make for a cold ride. But yeah, we're all looking forward to better weather. You know, tomorrow's going to be more of a day for me. Today's, you know, a day for my teammates. I have a lot of really strong climbers on the team, and we're going to try to give it a go and just to open it up. And, you know, we're here to fight, and we're here to show off our jersey.
Freddie, of course, talking about those stylish Rock Racing jerseys. Now, Rock has had a pretty good tour so far, and Freddie says that tomorrow, which is going to be more of a flat stage, is better for him. So how does a racer like Freddie prepare for a day like today?
Main thing, I still had to give a little hand to my guys, you know, cover a couple breaks here and there wherever they miss one, just in case, to kind of release a little pressure on them and help out Oscar and Mancebo whenever I can. And you know, at a certain point when I feel that I need to conserve and make it to the time cut, basically, I'll, you know, that's my goal. I haven't been 100% this week. I don't know what's wrong with me, but just been a tad off, so I got to be a little bit more concerned about making sure that I don't overdo it either.
Now, if you followed the Amgen Tour of California or professional cycling at all last year, you know that Rock Racing, well, they had a bit of an attitude. They were very brash and they were very loud. Things are different this year, and it seems to have affected their performance positively. We asked Freddie if the attitude change has also affected the team for the better.
I think it's just, you know, experience. You know, last year was our first big year with a top level racing Tour California big races, and it was just really working on our you know, we really beefed it up with our management, Rudy and Lepage. You know, those guys are really strong leaders. They've been doing this for a long time, and so we've really just, I think, learned from our mistakes last year and really fixed those and kept the core of last year and build on that.
And so with that in mind, where is Freddie planning on getting some wins this year? What are his plans for the season ahead?
I mean, I still I'm going to try to concentrate on all the top American races like Philadelphia, National Championships, Missouri. We're also, our core team now is a European base. You know, we're going to do a lot of races in Spain and Italy. And so I'll fly over to do those and pick and choose which ones are more my style than not too mountainous.
And with the sun being out and the riders no longer hiding in their team vehicles, we had the opportunity to speak with Levi Leipheimer, Tyler Hamilton, and Lance Armstrong. Granted, we only got very brief interviews, but here's what each had to say. Again, starting with Tyler, then Levi Leipheimer, and then Lance Armstrong.
You know, I speak for the whole peloton here. It's like, we'll take the sunshine after being in the rain the last 3 days. You know, a lot of those Europeans were complaining to me and saying, hey, what's this? I thought it was only sunshine here in California. Some tough conditions, but, you know, it's the same conditions for everybody, and the strongest guy will win the race. So, but I think everybody's happy to have the sun today.
Well, it's comforting to know that someone so strong and experienced is there to back you up. He's got my back, and he's been great. I mean, making all the right calls, and you can see that, you know, it's like riding a bike. Exactly. He didn't forget. Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, you know, we're in complete control of the race, but that's not to say that we've got this in the bag. It's going to be really hard.
And now for the shortest interview of the day. Lance, how do you feel? How is it to have this wonderful weather? What does it feel like?
Good, thank you.
After several books and speaking engagements and tours all over the world, still a man of few words. Ladies and gentlemen, Lance Armstrong.
Good, thank you.
Well, with those immortal words of Lance Armstrong, it's time to look at today's stage four from Merced to Clovis. Today's stage took the riders over four climbs, and the attacks began early, with several attacks and mini breaks beginning until finally a final break emerged, consisting of Serge Powells from Cervelo Test, Jason McCartney from Team Saxo Bank, Tyler Hamilton and Francisco Mancebo from Rock Racing. However, because Mancebo was only, well, less than a minute out of the general classification, he was eventually ordered back to the peloton in order to make sure that Astana didn't try to reel back the break, and this allowed the break to continue for most of the day, a day that saw snow in the Sierras and also a couple of very bad crashes that took Oscar Freire and Kim Kirkin out of the race, Kim Kirkin going to the hospital with what's rumored to be a broken collarbone. Well, this break continued until just a couple of kilometers before the final line when Cervelo came at the break like a charging locomotive and passed the break, trying to get Tor Husovd back into position once again for perhaps a back-to-back stage victory. However, as you'll remember from our earlier conversation with Mark Cavendish, he was left out of yesterday's break, and he was charging for the line as well. Finally, at the end of the day, it was Cavendish who took the day, winning the stage four of the 2009 Amgen Tour of California. Second place in today's stage going to Tom Bone, and third to J.J. Hiato of Team Saxo Bank. Fourth going to Tor Husovd, yesterday's stage winner. Fifth to Garmin Slipstream's Tyler Farah. Sixth, Marcus Zberg from BMC. Seventh, Fast Freddy Rodriguez from Rock Racing, whom we talked to earlier. Eighth went to Lucas Sebastian Hiato from Colavita Sutter Home. Ninth, Bernard Salzberger from Fly V Australia. And tenth to Martin Elmiger of AG2R La Mondiale. After today's stage, the general classification remains with Levi Leipheimer atop the standings in first place. Once again, all of the standings remaining exactly the same as they were yesterday. Levi's got 18 hours, 33 minutes, and 52 seconds. All of the top 10 within 39 seconds. Second place, Michael Rogers. Third, Dave Zabriskie. Fourth, Lance Armstrong. Fifth, Chris Horner. Sixth, Yanis Brockovich. Seventh, Thomas Lokvist. Eighth, Jose Luis Rubiera. Ninth, Vincenzo Nibali. And 10th, Robert Gesink. Francisco Mancebo is still atop both the sprint and the mountain classifications, and Robert Gesink remains atop the young rider classification. Now, beyond the news of the stage victory today for Mark Cavendish, another piece of good news came down, and that came from the police in Sacramento, California. It seems that Lance Armstrong's stolen time trial bike has now been recovered. The police are being a bit cagey about how the person who turned it in came into its possession, because apparently the investigation is still ongoing. Nevertheless, that bike is being delivered back to Team Astana so that Lance can use it in 2 days' time as the Tour of California has their individual time trial in Solvang, California. Good news for Team Astana. After the stage, we got to hear a little bit from the athletes who performed in that stage. Up first, our current GC leader and the yellow jersey wearer and the two-time champion of the Amgen Tour of California, it's Levi Leipheimer.
You all saw the course profile today and maybe, you know, some pictures of the race. So you could see we were quite a ways up there in the Sierras with snow everywhere. And so that meant for a pretty hard race, especially the first first hour and a half was extremely hard, and everybody came out with their guns blazing, and I think the peloton was in pieces at certain moments, and we had to chase down a lot of potentially dangerous breakaways with really strong riders in them. But the team was super strong, and there was even times when Lance himself took these monster pulls and brought back four or five guys all on his own. So it's great to have such a strong team.
Also, our stage winner, Mark Cavendish, well, he was asked whether or not today's victory was a bit of a redemption for yesterday's what might be called miscues. And he was also asked about how winning the stage and then having the tragedy with Kim Kirken occur, what effect that had on his buoyancy or his enthusiasm for the victory.
Yesterday, it was... Just, you know, lots of factors playing into a sprint, and if one of them goes wrong, then you're not in contention, and we had one or two went wrong, and I was in contention, so I was going to swear then, but, you know, bad stuff happens, and you got to make amends, and that's what we did today, and we got a down point on the day, the fact that Kim crashed, a bit of a freak accident, just a cape in his front wheel, and down he went, he's broke his collarbone, and that's a shame because, you know, I think he was going to be on for another good year this year, I'm going to send my best wishes to Kim, and I'm glad we could win the stage for him there, so.
Now, also today, we had the opportunity to speak personally with UCI President Pat McQuaid. Pat was here to, as he is every year, to come and see the Tour of California and observe and see how professional cycling is faring here in the United States. He had just come in, and he was generous with his time in answering our questions. We've seen Pat here at the Tour of California over the last couple of years, and we wanted to know what Pat thinks about the growth of this race over the years.
I think so far this race has been excellent. The crowds have been excellent despite very bad weather. I only arrived here yesterday and I saw a great crowd at the finish yesterday in Modesto. And now, thankfully, the sun is shining here today, so I think that's a good augurs well for the next couple of days. I think it's if it continues like that, the crowds will get bigger and bigger. In relation to the race, it is progressing every year and it's getting better every year. The participation is excellent here this year. The organisation is excellent. And it's good for the sport and good for the sport not just in America but also around the rest of the world. And I'm aware also that the TV coverage of this race has been extensive throughout Europe and the rest of the world as well, which is a first for it this year. So it's improved a lot in that area.
Now, lots of folks in the mainstream media and in the general public over the last few years have gotten sort of a tainted view of cycling because of the doping problems that have occurred. Well, in a week that has seen the A-Rod revelations come about, we wanted to ask Pat, has the UCI helped cycling turn a corner?
I'm sure we're making headway. There will be people, and there are, you know, a lot of media who still continue to focus on some of the guys who are riding this race, for instance, who are back from sanctions for doping. But I think you've got to move forward, and I think the sport is moving forward. You know, in any civil society, when a guy breaks the rules and he serves a sanction, when the sanction's over, he's allowed back into society. And sport is no different, so we have to do that. Whether we might, on a personal level, might prefer not to allow them back, but we have to do so. But I think with everything that's going on, and with the biological passport which is in place now, and with heavier sanctions in the new World Anti-Doping Code in terms of a possibility of going to 4 years, and also financial sanctions, I think and in particular, you know, we're definitely moving forward, and we're definitely making progress. And I think the most important thing for me is not all the new rules and all that type of thing, but the fact that I'm aware that there's a very big will among the teams and among the riders to get away completely from a doping culture which was in the sport, and they are doing everything they possibly can to do that. UCI are working with all the stakeholders in order that we can do that, and it is happening.
Before the UCI initiated the biological passport program, there were a number of teams, Columbia High Road, Team Slipstream, that initiated their own anti-doping and testing programs. With the passport, is that going to be necessary in the future?
I don't think it's necessary that teams do internal programs. Internal programs can never really be considered to be acceptable from the point of view that because they're an internal program and there's no objectivity with them, and the teams are doing it really in order to ensure that they don't have problems themselves. So from that point of view, it's good. But from the point of view of the overall fight against doping, I think what you need is a strong governing body such as the UCI who, you know, apply the rules fairly and squarely, and apply the rules the same for everybody. And I think once we have that system at the moment, and the biological passport, which again all the teams are party to, not just some, and some in and some not in, all the teams in the world calendar, right, in the world calendar events this year, all have to be part of the biological passport. That's, for me, is the most important thing, and that's the level playing field, brings everybody at the same level.
We also wanted to know from Pat what he thought of the Lance Armstrong return, especially when we consider Lance's effort to be as transparent as possible with his own drug testing results.
I think it's number one, his return is excellent. It's excellent for the sport. I think the evidence of what we've seen happen in Australia a couple of weeks ago, and now what we see in America, and the publicity that Lance has brought to cycling all over the world, not just in Australia, not just in Europe, not just America, but all over the world, has been excellent. And people are watching him, and will watch him all year long to see how it goes, and see how he does, see can he win the Tour de France again. And I think that's all good for the sport. In relation to his own system, or looking for transparency, I do believe that he had difficulties trying to find what was needed with Don Catlin, and Don Catlin and his own group couldn't agree with exactly what they could do. And he found out it's not that simple to have the transparency. When you talk about transparency, that means posting all your results on the internet and so forth. Well, the problem is that, you know, parameters go of the different aspects of the, you know, the body go up and down, you know, in all through the year, which is a natural thing. And what he didn't want to do was put himself in a position where people start making accusations of this or accusations of that at him. From our point of view, from the UCI's point of view, he's in the biological passport. He's had many tests done by the UCI. We have a profile of him already in the biological passport, which, as far as I'm aware, is a normal profile, and there's no abnormality showing up in it. And from that point of view, he's in exactly the same as everybody else.
And finally, we wanted to know from Pat's perspective if he felt finally in 2009 we might be able to resolve or at least get past the Operation Puerto scandal from Spain.
I'd love to think we would, but I can't really tell you that we will, because the Spanish authorities have been very slow in dealing with Operation Puerto. I mean, it's going on already 3 years now, 4 years, and there doesn't seem to me to be a huge willingness to progress at, you know, at the rate we would like to see it progress. So I say I don't know in 2009 whether we're going to get beyond it or not. I'd love to think we would, but I don't think so.
And there you have it, a few minutes with Pat McQuaid, the president of the UCI, the International Cycling Union, the folks who oversee professional cycling worldwide. Well, that's going to do it for today. But first, let's talk about a preview of tomorrow's Stage 5. This is the longest stage of the 2009 Amgen Tour of California, traveling from Visalia to Paso Robles, again, through the Central Valley, through the San Joaquin Valley of California. The beginning portions of this stage are essentially flat. And while there are no categorized climbs on the entire stage, the last third or so of the stage does have some rolling hills through the farmland. Nevertheless, it is expected once again that this will be a day for the sprinters. Good chance that a breakaway will get away, but will the breakaway survive the way Francisco Mancebo did earlier this week? Well, that remains to be seen. And we'll let you know tomorrow night on another episode of the Daily Tour Podcast. So long from the 2009 Amgen Tour of California. That's it for today's coverage of the 2009 Amgen Tour of California, presented by the Fredcast Cycling Podcast and powered by the resources of Bicycle.net. If you'd like to comment on today's show, please send an email to thefredcast@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out our videos brought to you by cyclefilm.com, located at www.thefredcast.com. This is your host, David Bernstein, from the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. So long from the 2009 Amgen Tour of California, and thanks for listening.